button. All right, we're gonna call this meeting of the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees to order. Welcome, everyone. Glad to have you here this evening. Bev, nice to have you here. Representing the Friends. If you all could look over the draft agenda and if there are any... Okay, but do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay, next, public or guest remarks, and this would be where Bev, if you would like to give us any little update on the Friends and activities.
Well, we're just anxiously waiting to get back down there in the garage to have a book sale, but I don't know when that's gonna be yet, do we?
We do not.
It'll get there.
The heater is installed and working. We're now waiting for Red Oak to come back and paint, and that will be the last thing. Red Oak, however, has submitted an invoice for $4,300. We have not received any money from the insurance company, so I'm not inclined to pay the invoice until I get the insurance money.
Right.
So we're a little bit of a standoff.
Can we put books down there now?
Well, they've gotta come in to paint, so anything... We can talk about it.
All right. But Friends are on the move?
We're on the move. Once we get our books back in, we have a book sale, we're gonna have our fling and get everybody back to work.
Okay, that sounds good. And do we wanna do our Marion report during this guest remark time? Who's presenting the Marion report this evening? Tracy?
I am. I'll be very, very fast.
You're good.
Okay, all right. So everybody's got one of these talking points. And I'm just talking about outreach and youth services because that's my area, so... Look how many books we circulated in February.
Wow.
Yeah, just 10 fewer than the adult section. That's a lot of books.
That's great.
And so far this month, we've held 22 programs, roughly 330 people in attendance. It's not an exact number because I did this yesterday, or two programs today. 55 programs were held in February with 701 in attendance. Now, that is more than usual because there was a Dr. Seuss kickoff week at Marion Elementary. I went to every single classroom.
Wow.
We added a new weekly story time that's a homeschool group, which this started because the homeschool families were coming to our preschool story time with their like 12 and 9-year-olds, and it was just not really flowing that well. So we set up a whole separate one, and next thing you know, we have 30 kids showing up, and then 15 kids, and then 8 kids showing up. So you never can tell week to week what it's gonna be. But even this week when we had snow on Tuesday, school was closed. We had 9 homeschool kids here.
Wow.
Yeah. And they vary from 3 to 15. Mm-hmm. So typically the older ones kind of sit over here in the corner, like we're too cool for the rest of it.
Yeah.
But they love being at the library and we love having them. Except that they do camp out for like 4-hour stretches. So that's a lot.
That is a long time.
When you get like 6 or 8 families.
And this is their thing. I mean, this is it.
Yeah. So so that's been a really good thing. Yeah, we started that in February, and that's kind of exploded. And Hannah was able to sign on a new outreach partner, which is the Chihuahua Friendship Cafe. Mm-hmm. We've been doing Saltwell Friendship Cafe and Marion Friendship Cafe, but Chihuahua has not signed on, but now they are. So.
Great.
Yeah. And, you have any questions right now?
No, that's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Tried to go as fast as possible.
No. I know that we have children who, you know, enjoy the benefits of youth services program, and they love it. And it's the whole group of kids just really enjoyed those
life
programs.
Stops for Teen Tuesday.
Kids come to some of the programs. And,
I love them so much. They are such a fun group of kids.
It's a great resource for the community. So thank you.
Well, there's nothing else like it. There's nowhere else they can go for 100% free and be themselves and hang out with
It's a fun hangout.
And it's safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Really appreciate it, so...
I appreciate that.
And all your books that you've ordered and your weaving project?
Oh, yeah. Because we're moving to Howell, I've been trying to get rid of any dead weight when I'm going to have to carry over. So we did everything. I'm down to the last little bit now.
That's fun. Spring cleaning project.
Yes. It's been an event, that's for sure.
All right.
Helen, do you want to say anything from Adult Services? No? It's okay, don't look at me.
We too have been waiting to get a lot of the stuff. We've cleared up a lot of stuff out of missing, and we found some stuff that we thought was missing but isn't missing.
Good.
So we've got one little lady who is constantly going back there and looking through the shelves and doing stuff, and she's quite the finder of things.
Oh, well, good.
She finds our shelving issues, too.
Well.
Which, you know, hey, if we don't find the mistakes, then we can't fix them.
Right.
So, but yeah, we've been doing that in all the areas. The work-study students have been helping out with straightening and everything, and we've got really good work-study students.
I have a great one, too. All three of ours are just wonderful.
Because we have three from WCC, and all three of them are fantastic. And drop of a hat, they are busy doing stuff, and so.
Yeah, and they don't cost any money for the library.
No, not for WCC.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great benefit.
We've been trying to clean up as much stuff as possible. Patrons, too. Mm-hmm. Like, if we've had patrons in the system that are expired and, you know, that are just kind of sitting there, and sadly, we were also trying to find the ones who were no longer with us.
Right.
To get those out of the system so we have a more perfect picture of how many people are actually using the library and stuff like that, and not having to transfer stuff that we have to deal with later.
Yeah. So. It's a big job. So thank you all for everything you do. Okay. Now let's go down to the approval of the minutes of the February meeting. You all should have received a copy of those in your email. And we also
have the approval is presented.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. February disbursements, which are here. If you look through those. And if you have any questions, it looks like we have kind of the typical expenditures for the most part. And we have our signs that we, for Marion's sign.
Yeah, all three. And, yeah, we paid for all three of those in February. So that was
came
a big
out.
Chunk.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew it was coming.
That was budgeted. Does anybody have any questions about any of the expenditures, disbursements? If not, we'll entertain a motion to approve. Patton makes a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Nellie second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, we'll just review the financial report for February, and that's also here in your packet. Go down through there, and I don't see any negatives yet. I'm not on the second page, but it looks like we're in within budget for everything, and we have just a few more months, really, in the year, fiscal year. So we're in good shape, it looks like. Have there been anything out of the ordinary that's come up as far as expenses that you can think is going to maybe throw us off?
There is. Yeah, we've still got the Proficient issue. I think I mentioned it a few meetings ago. Proficient is our internet service provider for all three locations, and they stopped billing us. They changed their internal accounting system, and for whatever reason, it brought a screeching halt to the bills, and we noticed that we had like 3 months where we hadn't written that check, and then so we kept after them and after them for new invoices, and then when they finally sent the new invoices are wrong, so we can't pay them. So we're gonna pay when that all gets worked out. We will have a lump there, but it's all again all budgeted for. We also have a similar issue with Verizon, where our monthly Verizon bill is fairly large for the Wi-Fi hotspots and for the two internet, the community internet stations. They at their end have said, please don't pay your bill.
Mm-hmm.
They are working out a credit for us because they were so embarrassed at how long it took to get the filters for the community internet sites that they want to cover the cost of the licenses. But they say if we keep paying our bill, then they can't apply the credit or something. Mm. So again, you know, I worry a little that we've gone several months without paying the Verizon bill.
Right.
Because they've asked us not to. So that's another big chunk that will be coming.
Well, as long as you have that in writing, then there's no problem.
Yes, yeah, we get everything in email, so we have all our documentation.
So
but it makes Sheila and I a little uncomfortable.
I'm sure.
That's hanging out there.
It looks like we have quite a few, the entire budget for the Marion adult books. Am I reading that line right? No, Marion adult local, yeah.
So we spend state first, and so Helen and Janet split that money.
Okay.
I will say that this is only everything that through the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So Sheila has written several checks.
Okay, so we will have that next month.
Yeah, in March for book orders.
Okay. All right.
Cersei, it looks like, are we waiting for state money for that? Is that what that is?
Cersei, we've already paid, and we do use state money for that. There's $5,800 left there, and that's the money that we will use to pay for the extraction of data to transfer to Sierra. So we knew that there were going to be some expenses for the migration, and that was one of them. So we've paid them their regular annual.
You just pay once sometime a long time ago.
July. We usually pay in July for the whole year. And then when we move to HAL and the Sierra platform, we'll actually be making the payment to HAL, not to Innovative or Sierra. So that last $5,800 is just for, as I said, the migration costs. They charge us to extract all of our data out of their system. One final gift as we leave them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you all have any other questions here about any of the financial reports?
Oh, man.
Okay. Let's move on then to the director's report. I had a chance to just read through that some, and everything looks good as usual. Everything's on the move.
Yes. So there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. I
try to not speak very much because it hurts my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone will get some time back in your life tonight. the ARC grant is just about done. We met on Wednesday. Sean, we are all agreed on the provider, and because we haven't signed the contract yet, I can't say who it is, but Sean, we were doing the final by tomorrow, close of business. We should have the final proposal from the company. It's a very good company with excellent library experience. Sean will then take it to the Board of Supervisors next week on Thursday to get their sign-off, and then they'll start work in April. So it's been really helpful. The people from Mount Rogers Planning District Commission have been terrific. Sean is personally engaged and attending all the meetings, and once we kind of get this contract signed, he intends to sit down with the mayor and the town manager in Saltville to talk about sites that they might be able to make available and to try and sort that out now that we have the money in the project planning grant. He wants to make sure we use the money wisely, so we don't want to squander it on things that aren't real possibilities. So he's going to have that conversation. And I think that will be very healthy because it'll, you know, demonstrate the county's engagement on the project. So I think that's all very good.
Mm-hmm. Great. And that's a major thing in the report.
Yes. And Chris and I have spent a fair amount of time on all of that, and the meetings and the proposals and evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
How implementation is zipping along. Janet and Helen have done the vast majority of the work. They have really dug into countless spreadsheets and data points and, you know, rules and loan rules and all of the stuff that goes into creating our profile in the new software. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing an amazing job. I think are in very good shape. We have another test load of our data in the software coming next week. And so we'll be able, hopefully that'll be the last.
Thank you for visiting the Smith County Public Library. We'll be closing within 15 minutes. The reference area is now closed. Please finish your projects and bring your final selections to the desk for checkout this time. Thank you.
I think we're going to be in very good shape. We'll see what the second tranche of data looks like when we have a chance to look at that. And then the next step really is training. We'll be doing intensive training for 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks in May. Everybody will be getting training on the new software and all the different modules. So it'll be an intense couple of weeks, and we'll have to do some juggling of staff around the locations, because, you know, we have to still run the library while we have people in training. So you will be seeing, you know, people working at all different stations beyond their normal station to be able to staff the library while we're doing the training. But we'll get that done, and then we'll be ready for the final push to actually implement the new system and go live. I will also tell you that, you know, the HAL Board of Directors has been approached by two regional library systems, and so we'll be having a meeting on the 27th that two other regional systems in Southwest Virginia are looking for a new ILS, and they have expressed interest in joining HAL, and so that would be four more counties and two large regional library systems potentially. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, what the other HAL members will feel and whether they feel like absorbing us is enough, and they may not necessarily want to take on two additional regional libraries, but we're going to have that conversation with those two groups on the 27th. So more to come later.
Regional library is another group, is that what you mean?
Yeah, so with Grayson and Galax Carroll are the two regional library systems. So like we used to be back in the day. Mm-hmm. They are using an ILS that's provided by the Library of Virginia, and the Library of Virginia has decided to sunset that ILS, and so they're basically being evicted, and so they have to find another ILS. And mm-hmm. so when they looked around, they knew we were going to HAL. They thought, well, maybe we should go to HAL too. Yeah. Sierra is considered kind of the cream of the crop of ILS systems, of all of the ones that are out there in the commercial. You know, the three big ones are Sierra, Circe, and then the TLC, the library company. And then there's one kind of much cheaper but much less capable called Atria. And there are libraries in Virginia that have Atria, not very many. There are some that have Circe. Sierra and TLC are probably the most common across the state. Mm-hmm. So Sierra is considered kind of the cream of the crop, the most capable, the easiest to use. So
we're so excited to have
mm-hmm.
Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is considered the best one. And then I just wanted to talk about our facilities issues, just because the county has been amazingly supportive. In addition to everything we know about the work they did for us a couple years ago on the elevator, just this year they had to do that HVAC, replace the coil for the HVAC. And then in January, the heat pump for this room failed, and the electricity in this room failed during the Marion Book and Study Club meeting. It was a terrible day. But they were just amazing. They bought the new heat pump last week. They had a crane here installing it up on the roof. And so the county has just been amazingly helpful with all of the many facility issues we have.
And that's probably something to note. I know in the past the libraries had concerns or problems, we've rushed to go to our Board of Supervisors members and, hey, we need help. So this is probably an appropriate time for us to all go to our elected Board of Supervisors representatives and thank them for the support they're giving us and express that appreciation.
Yeah, because it hasn't even been an issue. Like when we had to, before, like every time I'd have to go to the budget committee and talk them through the issue and why we couldn't pay for it. And this time Sean said, no, that's okay, we got it. We'll take care of it. I'll talk to the committee. It'll be okay.
You've come a long way.
It has.
I know.
So let's thank them for that.
I wonder what that was like.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So we're enjoying a good relationship now,
it's
and
been
that's been built. So thank you for the work you've done to bridge that gap.
And Rose, a lot that
it is.
That goes to you.
It is.
Mm-hmm. No, it's everybody. Everybody has helped do this.
Well, just, yeah, let's express our gratitude to them for that.
And then the last thing I want to mention is on the Seed Library. Heather has got a very innovative project. And, we know the Seed Library has been a great and wonderful thing and very popular. But we did find that last year that there are people who have only ever grown plants from plants, not from seeds. And so the whole process of germinating seeds and planting seeds was a mystery to folks. And so Heather this year has arranged a partnership with the Chilhowie Garden Club. And so every Friday in March and April, they're having like a little training session at the old high school building where people who have never grown plants from seeds can come and get help from the garden club members about how to grow your seeds and then, how to transplant them and how much to water them and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a really great addition because we know that we had people last year who struggled who had never planted plants.
Don't know if this is still available. At one time in the last few years, the horticulture department at Marion High School, you can take your seeds up there and plant them, and then they water and take care of them, and you go once a week and do whatever needs to be done, and then you take them home when it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never knew that.
I think you pay like $2 for a flat or something.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know if it's still done, but
Adam Tilson is the horticulture teacher, so he would be the one to contact.
Okay. Well, yeah, we did.
Adam Tilson.
Mm-hmm. Because we were even looking for speakers, and she was having a hard time because, of course, this is the busy season for people who do this work. And so she reached out to the 4-H teachers, and they weren't available. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to a lot of people, and they kept saying, oh, I'm sorry, we're just too busy. We can't agree to do that. And so the Garden Club stepped up, which was great.
Well, that is great.
That's a great partnership, so I'll stop there.
That's the director's report for the month. Now we'll go ahead and move on to the old business, which is the report on the Net Inclusion 2023 conference, which I saw just a little bit of in here, and I think we have a PowerPoint.
Yes, we have slides. And here it goes.
Put up slides, then maybe I won't have to talk as much. Words on the slides. When I try to do the present view, it goes black, so we're not going to do that. So the framework, this is the stuff that I gave you all in a previous meeting about the Infrastructure Act and the Digital Equity Act and how much money is available. The state of Virginia has its money. And the people in charge of that are the Department of Housing and Community Development. And they were at the San Antonio conference that I went to. And they are the people who have offered us the opportunity to be a pilot project. Library of Virginia has been working with them. So I think we're set up. So this is a picture of Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo, who showed up for this conference. She was the person who negotiated for the Biden administration with Congress on all of the digital equity parts of the Infrastructure Act. And she, this was her fan club. And she said, you all have been doing this work, everybody in this room, the 800 people who were gathered. She said, you all have been doing this work for decades. Finally, we've caught up and are trying to
provide the resources that people have basically been cannibalizing from their own internal budgets to be able to do this work. So it was 800 participants, the largest ever, and certainly in that room. Yes?
I'm not sure what we're talking about.
So digital equity and inclusion. And the definition of digital equity is when everybody in the community has access to the devices, the plans, and the knowledge to be able to use the internet for whatever they needed in their lives. And digital inclusion are the activities you do to help people get to digital equity.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and so this was a Biden administration priority. They put it in the Infrastructure Act, and there's a particular sub-piece of the Infrastructure Act that is all about digital equity and inclusion.
Okay.
The reason it matters in Smith County right now is because the county is finally being connected. All of the trucks of Point Broadband that are all over this county right now lay in that fiber that are finally connecting people who have never had it in their home before. So now that they have it, do they know what to do with it? Do they know all of the wonderful things and the way it can transform lives? And so, you know, public libraries have been doing this as long as we've had public computers and people walking in, and we teach them how to set up an email account, and we teach them how to print, and we, you know, all of those basic things. That's digital inclusion, right?
So it's getting internet access to people and showing them how to use it.
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
So at this conference, the Library of Virginia asked me to go, and they paid for me to go. And Net Inclusion is the name of the conference, and they've been having these annual meetings since 2016. But all of this work, as I said a minute ago, has been done in the past by people who felt like it needed to be done. So they set up an NGO, or they ate it out of their budget, or like in our case, the Library of Virginia, in our grant, you know, we pay for that, and we have the E-rate program that pays for the internet service to the library. So, you know, we've had some support from the federal government, but nothing on this scale. I mean, it's $65 billion nationwide.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of money, and it's because this administration believes that connecting places like rural Southwest Virginia that have been left out when, you know, New York City and Chicago and San Francisco, you know, entire industries have been built on internet access where those industries weren't built here because we didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And so this is now the opportunity to help people catch up. And so,
well, thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, at this conference,
sure.
Too many words, so I'll try to, you know, really, there are a couple of key lessons. One is, because people have been doing this work for so long, a lot of the models are out there. We don't have to invent our own. We don't have to create anything from scratch. People have been learning these lessons for decades, and this conference is where people come to share those lessons. And so we will be able to take that and adapt it for our local environment and go forward. And I'll just move on to the next one because it's really. So, as I said, we've been doing this inside the library for, you know, as long as we've had public computers. Stuff like when IRS stopped mailing out tax forms, right, 15 years ago. And the IRS said to people, go to your library and print your forms. You know, job applicants are routinely told, you know, you can only apply online. Go to your public library and apply. And so we help people apply for jobs. Social Security, you have to do all your Social Security stuff online now. There's no more paper forms. You have to do it online. Whether you want to or not, you have to.
I just got to do that.
Right, and you had to do it online.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who don't know
how... I'm sure people that are much more internet savvy than I am do it a lot quicker.
So, and libraries, so people show up in libraries saying,
I should come to the library.
Exactly.
My allocation. So, Smith County is ahead of schedule. This 100% universal coverage wasn't supposed to happen until May of 2024. They told us on Wednesday that Point Broadband says they will be finished by the end of July of this year. So almost a year early. So that makes kind of our efforts to try and help people a little more urgent because it's suddenly going to be there. So the Department of Housing and Community Development has the responsibility in Virginia. They have to create a state plan. They owe the federal government by October 1st a state plan. So they want some pilot projects around the state to see what works and what doesn't work. And so they have created a mini grant program. And so they invited us to apply for one of these mini grants of $10,000 to test our concept of how we would do this work in Smith County. We know from experience that we get people who come in one or two at a time, but when we try to say there's a class on how to use Excel or there's a class on this, people just don't show up. And even if you say we're having open help for any topic, relatively few people are going to show up. And so Smith County being the word of mouth kind of place that it is, we think we have to work with partner groups like social services, like the Lions Club in Saltville, like public housing here in Marion, and go out and kind of find people, you know, find the people who need help and help them. And so with this $10,000, I would buy some part-time staff hours. I have some young part-time employees who are interested in doing this work. And instead of, some people may come to the library and we can help them in the library, but we may go out to public housing offices or go to different churches or wherever people are who need this help and start helping them to test the concept. Does it work in Southwest Virginia to try and do this kind of work in that format? So I, apply for the grant. I wanted to discuss it with you all so you all have the opportunity to say, Rose, you're crazy, we don't want to do this. I would be sad and disappointed, but you guys have the perfect right to wave me off. The other costs that I would get them to cover in the grant, you know, besides the big cost will be staff salaries, but, you know, money for mileage, a little money for advertising so we could print flyers and pamphlets, and probably we'd have to buy some laptops for the employees doing this work to use to do it. So, I've also asked, Bill Rush told me last year that the town of Marion would love opportunities to provide matching funds for grants. And since we know that the public housing community might be a big user of this kind of service, I've asked them to consider a $5,000 match of this grant so that we would have a total of $15,000 to use. Once, you know, if this grant, if we have a tight turnaround, we have to submit our case study to the Department of Housing and Community Development by August 1st. And so, you know, it would be kind of a busy over the summer kind of project so that they can incorporate it into their state plan that's due October 1st. I think it's well worth doing for the residents of Smith County, and so, but we'd love to hear what you all think.
I think it sounds like a good idea. I think it opens up the, you know, a resource for people that they wouldn't otherwise have. But that's my opinion. I don't know how the rest of you feel.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Right. Exactly. You know, for the library to be seen taking our services out into the community to meet a need that exists.
And we're not just, quote, books. And, I mean, that's, we have a lot of other things that we provide to the community.
Yeah, and one of the big things that I heard in every session in the conference in San Antonio was that fear and shame are the biggest barriers. That people feel stupid that they don't know how to do this, right? And people say, oh, I'm too old, I can't learn this. Or I don't have good math skills, I can't learn this. Everybody can learn this.
I don't want to learn anything.
Do you need a vote then to go ahead?
I was going to say. Yeah, I'm just looking for your general expressions that, you know, is this something we should, because it'll take a lot of my time and it'll take, you know, some staff time.
Well, if there's time to do it, I definitely would think we should, because that's bringing something that people don't have, that they need.
And I think it'll be a lot of the people who are most isolated and marginalized and who haven't had as many opportunities as others. You know, now it may be that people say, I don't want the internet, it's scary, and it's nothing but pornography and bad stuff, and I don't want it. Well, that's their perfect right, and so we may have some of that too, and that's fine too. I certainly have heard that view here. All right.
Well, I think we're good to go forward with
it. I'm convinced.
Okay.
What about you, Tom? You think okay?
Oh, no, I'm for 100%. I think it's a great opportunity. My one question is, and I'm sure you thought about this, is it sustainable?
Ha ha. This is our next slide. So, thank you. Perfect segue. So, this is, there is a much bigger pot of money at the end of the rainbow. So, when they submit their state plan, then they will be eligible for what is called capacity grants. And each state will get no less than $100 million. And
$100 million?
No less than 100. Every state is guaranteed at least $100 million. And the state of Virginia will get more than that because we have a good chunk of the so-called underserved and unserved areas. And so Virginia believes it will get considerably more than $100 million. And so we want to be part of that pot of money. And so being a pilot project puts us in a good place with housing and community development to be able to get some of those funds. So some of my ideas would be to then hire full-time staff people to do this work and use that money to do things that we have never been able to afford to do before, like have laptops that we could lend to people. You know, right now we're loaning hotspots and tablets. A lot of libraries loan laptops. We never have because we've never been able to afford it, but we could use some of that, apply for money to get laptops. I've also thought about a mobile digital opportunity lab where we could put computers and stuff like a bookmobile, only it would be a digital opportunity mobile and take it out to different places on different schedules. Public housing would be one of those targets, but it could be anything. It could be the Lions Club or the VFW or wherever people felt like there was a demand for it.
Maybe one of outreach partners.
So we have. And then there, in addition to the state money, there is NTIA, which is the federal level agency that manages all of this. They will also be offering competitive grant opportunities, so we could also potentially compete for those grants. So thank you for asking that question. This is the sustainability piece.
I'll tell them about rehearsing it later on.
Yeah. That was a good presentation.
So.
Wow, what an opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's the moment. The federal money is there. It's available. We are exactly
the population that is assigned to serve. So I think we can take good advantage of it. Well, thank you for finding the yes. opportunity and for investing so much time and energy into. Good job, Rose. Good job.
Well, it was a week away, and I feel like I've been catching up ever since.
Well, we really appreciate that because I think it'll help our whole community if we can, you know, put it in place. All right. So the new business then is a new home for the local history digital collection.
Yes. So I just wanted to tell you all, as part of our migration out of Searcy and into Sierra, one of the things that lives in Searcy. Tracy, would you actually go there on the website under collections? If you go down to
collections
and then digital, Smith County digital collection.
Okay.
Almost to the bottom.
Thank you.
There you go.
You
Sorry.
All right, and then click on digital collection.
It's a lovely website.
Yes, so this is our digital collection, and Margaret and Donna know a lot about this, but we have in there church records, funeral home records, photographs, all different stuff. It's in the very funky Searcy format, which people don't love. It's hard to find stuff in there. So as part of the migration, we decided that we were not going to move this to Sierra, that this is not a good way to present this collection. Mm. So we went out and looked at all the other options, and I will tell you, it was a wide and confusing variety of alternative arrangements.
And what we have decided to do, and this is why I just wanted to tell you all that, because this collection is, you know, in this community very important. People here care about their local history. They care about local history collections. That we're going to move it actually to the website. Our website developer has created an interface that will allow him, Helen will export the records out of CIRCE, send them to him, and then he's developed an interface to put them up on the website so that when people, right now when Tracy just clicked that link, it went to CIRCE. Now when they click the link, it'll just be all right there on the website, and they'll be able to click the individual records right on the website.
That would be easier to use?
Yes, much easier to use. Not all the, like, we had to click through several steps to get to this, and it'll just be right there, available right on the website. So it'll cost $5,000 to do the setup, and then every year they'll charge us $200 to host it, in addition to our regular $200 a year website hosting fee. So the annual fee is quite low. The other options were much more labor intensive, where our staff would have to do a lot of the work, and the annual cost was $1,500 to $2,000 a year. So we were looking for something that, you know, yes, this is a upfront $5,000, but then we're done. And then we will be able, just like we add things to the website all the time, and we have all had the experience now of doing that, it's fairly easy. And so if we have new materials that we want to add, it'll be really simple for staff to go in and pull up a menu and add new items. Basically, we haven't added new items in recent history because it's just been too hard and too difficult to work with this system. And so there's probably a backlog of demand for digitization stuff to be added to our collection, which we will be able to do much more, much easier. The method will be much easier with the new website system. So I just wanted, again, to tell you all that. You don't have to vote on it or approve it. I did talk to Margaret, our resident expert on this topic, before we made this decision.
It brings back some memories, looking at that page right there. So it's that Kenny Sturgill collection when he passed away, as you all know, he was the historian. All the photographs that he had collected are there. Over his lifetime, he donated that, and so we have access to it. So it's, you know, it's really nice.
I'm not sure how many people find it right now, because it's
yeah, but it is something that'll be really nice to have it a little more user friendly.
More traffic.
Mm-hmm. But it just it that just is not a good
no
presentation. But it'll get there when we have the new one. So thank you. Now, the next item is usually a quick and easy, let's get it out of here, but we'll have a little bit of discussion here tonight. Our date is pretty set. The third Thursday of the month is
April
20th. My daughter's birthday.
Aww.
Amelia. So it will be April 20th. And now the thing I want to discuss with you all is we have been rotating to the different branches every third. And the reason we do that is to go to the communities, be there, be present, and it was to kind of bring people from the communities into the meetings. We have not been getting much attendance from people in the other communities at those meetings. I think we should still at least go one time a year to like Chilhowee and Saltville. I think a few of you have expressed it's a little easier, and it's a little easier setup here too to have presentations like this. I just want to hear your feedback specifically. I mean, Nellie, that would affect you. Living in Chilhowee, I'm just thinking if we would meet here, but then have a set month that we go to Saltville, a set month we go to Chilhowee, because we had hoped that we would have more attendance in Chilhowee and Saltville from the community, and we just, it's...
And my question to you would be, how did we, I guess advertise is a good word, how mm-hmm. did we advertise that, or you're talking about the general population, right?
Right.
So how did they know about our meetings?
It's on the website, and we're required to publish that every month that it's where the meetings are.
The people in the community, mm-hmm. in order to come to one of those meetings, would have had to gone to the website.
Or Facebook page. Or the Facebook page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I don't know how many people would actually mm-hmm. go to the website.
So it's just the benefit. Are we getting the benefit that we had initially sought in every third month going to the different... I know that, like, for you, it's hard to get to the meetings when they're in Saltville and Chilhowee.
I can most of the time do Chilhowee, but Saltville's a no-go for me. I just right. don't have the time for that.
I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to that.
I think we should still maintain at least the one... A year for sure.
Oh, I agree that we do.
And I think that we as board members need to make a point on our own to go to those library branches and just visit in our normal routines. But what about you and Tom and Patton? What do you feel?
Personally, I think it's a great idea. And the reason I think it's a great idea is just economical. Mm-hmm. I mean, most everybody, and I realize that there are other people, there are people exceptions to this, most everybody is from the Marion area, so to speak. And so to move nine people down there, or nine people to Chilhowee, as opposed to bringing Chilhowee here, one mm-hmm. or two people, mm-hmm. seems to me pretty mm-hmm. no-brainer.
Okay. Patton?
My concern is that the branches know that they have the full support of the main library.
Right.
And that they have our full support. And if that's okay going once a year, that's fine. But if we need to go more, I'm happy to do that, because I want them to know
mm-hmm.
there are no issues with that, and we're happy.
Right, and we are working hard. I hope they know. We've made an effort to really try to do more in those communities. So.
And I mean, I really think so, but I'm mm-hmm. just saying if that were to become an right. issue, I'd be happy to mm-hmm. go over again.
Yeah, I think from my perspective that having you all, you know, sit in Saltville the way you did last month, right, and to have the work study student and Kristen, our part-time library assistant, you know, hear the conversation and mm-hmm. know that you all cared enough to come to their workplace mm-hmm. is a big morale booster.
And
we all know that when our boss, mm-hmm. you know, shines their light on us, everybody feels special and seen and heard. So from internal library stuff, I think it's very healthy for you all to be in those locations.
Well, it's helpful to me to be in Saltville because all those crowded issues are right in your face, and you go, oh, mm-hmm. yes, there's a problem.
Right.
I mean, it's
okay.
It's a problem.
All right.
So?
Well, I say then my proposal, and you all can, we'll vote on it, but would be to keep it as we have it, but to really try and advertise a little more to the community. Hey, we're here. We would love for you to join us at our board meetings.
Are there town websites that that have like what's going on? I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both towns have town websites. I mean, we have money in the budget for marketing, so mm-hmm. we could try putting ads in the...
Or even the Facebook pages and just pushing that a little more.
There was a time, I think, that everything was going out over the... I mean, mm-hmm. this meeting...
Broadcast. That was during COVID.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go, turn on your radio or mm-hmm. your computer, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I mean, I don't know how many people are listening to it, but
mm-hmm. are we up
live?
Live
stream.
No, we don't
live stream.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
We were
live stream. You yes. all were. Not
and
since
the
I
county.
Worked.
The county no longer does. They don't do a live stream. That was kind of during the COVID era. Okay. But anyway, we can just. Table that. Let's, you know, put it to rest. We'll go to Chilhowee next month, see how that goes, and we can revisit this in 3 months.
Okay. And we can, you know, internally we'll try to make a better job of advertising. And Nellie, if you have ideas, since we're going to Chilhowee next month, if you have ideas about what's the best way to advertise to reach that community,
okay.
that would be great.
Mm-hmm. So April 20th, Chilhowee. 5:30. We good? Now we'll have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So second?
Second.
All in favor?
I'll third.
Okay, fourth, fifth. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.